present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us today at the Pavilion Theatre in the fine city of Glasgow, founded in the year 550 AD by St. Mungo. Life in Glasgow for several centuries centred around its kirk, for a people then known as the Scotty, later joined by the Sulu, the Uhura, and more power, Mr. Chekhov's. It was their occasional exploration south to face the encroaching English that led to the first recorded use of the line, "It's civilization, but not as we know it." The city grew steadily with the Industrial Revolution and through the 19th century embraced the age of steam. Today, nostalgic Glaswegians pay good money to spend whole days enjoying the static display of Victorian rolling stock known as Virgin Rail. That's not the only display of immobile museum pieces currently available to us. Let's meet the teams. They are on my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Fred McCauley and Tim Brooke Taylor. And keen to help out whenever the team score, please welcome the delightful Samantha. Okay, teams.
Can I just say, this is the first time I've been on this show, and I had no idea she was that pretty.
You'll learn. The first game is called New National Anthems. As the political map of the world continues to change, many nations feel the need for a new anthem. As an example, the Scots have in recent years taken to singing O Flower of Scotland, a fine tribute to the baking products of Mr. McDougall. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to suggest titles of popular songs that might be adapted to serve as national anthems for countries around the world. Will you start, please, Barry?
Bar, 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 Barbados.
Fred.
I thought we might have one for Scotland, since that's where we are, and it's going to be Taiwan Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree.
Graham?
You say Tobago and I say Tobago.
Tim.
It's that Pinochet moment. Chili, chili, bang, bang.
Here's another one for the home audience. That's Dr. Finland's casebook.
If you knew Zealand like I know Zealand.
Turkey, turkey, cheap, cheap.
Never mind the lyrics. And one for Australia and New Zealand. Antipody-doo-da.
Crashed Bangladesh wallop, what a picture.
Papua back writer.
Faroese, a jolly good fellow.
I'm Henry the Eighth, sorry, I'm sorry.
One man went to Mozambique.
We're going to have a musical round now called One Song to the Tune of Another.
Oh.
A game that really couldn't be much simpler, except that one shouldn't be confused by the use of the word one. That's one as in one song, not one as in one shouldn't be confused. The teams take two songs, and that's two in the sense of the number two, not the teams take two songs as a duck to water. In fact, now I think about it, the teams don't take to songs like a duck takes to water, nor do they take to Nor do they take to two songs any better. And I say to two as in towards the number, not as in tutu, the ballet skirt or South African bishop. Not that they often sing songs about Archbishop skirts anyway. Let's hope they never do. I couldn't face having to explain their taking to tutus two tutu songs. So with that all sorted out, all we have to do is introduce our accompanist, who really does take to water like a duck. Takes to the piano. Colin Sir. Tim, you can start. I'd like you to sing the words of One Man Went to Mow a Meadow to the tune of Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Wolf went to mow a meadow. Two men went to mow a meadow. Two men, one man and his dog. Wolf, wolf, went to mow a meadow. Three men went to mow a meadow. Three men, two men, one man and his dog. Where's the accompaniment? Wolf, wolf, went to mow a meadow.
Four men went to mow. Went to mow a meadow. Four men, three men, two men, one man and his dog. Wolf, wolf.
Okay, Graham, will you sing the words of the beautiful Killing Me Softly with his song to the tune of Colonel Bogey?
That's drowning my pain with his fingers. Singing my life with his words. Killing me softly with his song. Killing me softly with his song. Telling me my whole life with his words. Killing me softly with his song. I heard he sang a good song. I heard he had a style. And so I came to see him and listen for a while.
Okay, Fred, an easy one for you now. Would you please sing the words of Knees Up, Mother Brown to the tune of Elvis's Love Me Tender?
Knees up, Mother Brown. Well, knees up, Mother Brown. Come along, dearie, let it go. E-I-E-I-O. It's your blooming birthday. Let's wake up all the town. So knees up, knees up. Don't get the breeze up. Knees up, Mother Brown.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Finally, Barry, would you please... Incidentally, have you noticed the enthusiasm with which I say the words, would you please sing?
Yes.
There's professionalism for
yes.
you.
Yes.
Barry, would you please sing the words of I'll Take You Home Again, Kathleen, to the tune of the William Tell Overture?
Across the ocean, wild and white, to where your heart has ever been. It's first, you have a morning bright. The roses all have left your cheeks. I've watched them fade away and die. Your voice is sad when e'er you speak, and tears dim your loving eyes. And I will take you back at least to where your heart will feel no pain. And when the fields are fresh and green, I will take you to your home, Kathleen. I know you love me, Kathleen, dear. Your heart was never frozen free. I always fear when you are near. That drives both of here but you.
Okay, we're going to play a Scottish version of the old observational party game, teams, which I see has now been retitled Och I Spy. This is just one of many children's games that have been adapted to suit the Scots. There's Postman's Jock, blind drunk man's Macduff. And, of course, pass the oil profits south. Okay, Barry and Graham, will you start, please, by giving Tim and Fred the first letter of the Scottish item you have spied?
Hot I spy with my little eye. Something beginning with Y.
Y? Is it the yon table?
No.
Yep.
Could it be yon microphone?
No.
Not even close.
Yon glass?
Getting warmer.
Yon great jazz trumpeter?
Yeah!
Yeah!
You won't get any bonus points for that. Okay, now I have an instruction here. It says Tim and Fred have a go when they've guessed it. Do you understand that? If so, carry on.
I spy with my little eye something beginning with W.
Is it that wee jug?
No.
Wee Colin Sell.
No.
Is that wee table?
Getting warmer.
Or that wee Tabix?
Yes.
Thank you. We're going to have a round now, which I've adapted from the erstwhile popular TV programme called Who's Baby? That was the show where the children of a celebrity of the time, say, Britt Eklund, for example, would line up and provide clues, and then she'd try to remember who their fathers were. The Who's Baby 1970s format looks a bit tired now and was only ever designed to work on down-market commercial television. And that's not all that makes it ideal for the new Radio 4 show. Because, teams, we've managed to find original sound recordings of the babies of various famous people for you to identify. Fred, we'll start with you. Can you tell me whose baby this is, please?
I think the Scottish accent kind of gives it away. Someone who doesn't make much more sense now than he did as a child, is it Jimmy Nash?
Your turn now, Graham. Whose baby is this?
That was obviously Baby Schumacher. You could tell that by the constant whining.
Barry, can you identify this baby?
Gallagher's baby.
How did you reach that conclusion?
Liam Gallagher is a popular singer of the day.
Popular singer, a crooner.
I see.
When he married Miss Kensett, they cut the coke.
Jim Knight, whose baby is this?
I couldn't hear that.
I think that was Beethoven's first movement.
Well done, Tim. It's the quick-fire buzzer round now, teams. This needs little explanation from me, except to say that it's on the buzzer as ever, and it's quick-fire. Samantha's ready at the scoreboard, where, as usual, it'll be 1 point each or one away, otherwise it goes to the other side if not. So, fingers on buzzers. And Tim got his finger on the buzzer there first. 1 point, Tim. Sure. And on we go. So, fingers on buzzers. That was Barry. Okay, so the teams are now level pegging. Fingers on buzzers, please. Well, at last, Graham. Yeah. Fingers on buzzers.
I don't think mine's working.
What, your buzzer?
No, my finger. I was right.
Okay, one more. Fingers on buzzers, please.
Hum.
I don't know who that was.
There's something missing in this round.
Just because you're losing.
Okay, now, quite by chance, teams, it's now time for the amazing coincidence round. I'll provide you with three items, places, or people which have a surprising but cunningly concealed connection. So if I were to say a £2,000 bribe to a prostitute, blatant insider dealing, and huge contributions to party funds, then you'll see the amazing coincidence is that none of these had any effect on Geoffrey Archer being awarded a peerage. I've got here some of my favourite amazing coincidences. I'd like the teams to take a stab at guessing the connection. We'll start with you, Graham. Can you please connect a bottle of Head and Shoulders, Ian Paisley, and the European community?
Yes, I can, I think. Astoundingly, both Paisley and Head and Shoulders have had a run-in with the EC because a new EU ruling has come out that Head and Shoulders has to change its name, because the bottles don't actually contain any head or shoulder. Or at least not very much. And the town of Paisley has had to change its name for fear of being confused with the Reverend Dr. Ian Paisley. The town will now be known as Noisy Bigot.
I have an alternative theory. These are three things that William Hague really doesn't want. Bottle of Head and Shoulders. Ian Paisley in the European.
After which, I've got to tell you what the boring real answer is. Irish men suffer less from dandruff than any other European country. Tim, now, can you tell us the connection between Bill Clinton, Mike Tyson, and Margaret Thatcher?
Margaret Thatcher has the ear of William Hague. Mike Tyson has the ear of Evander Holyfield. And Bill Clinton has the cigar of Monica Lewinsky.
But did he inhale?
He plays in Cheshire.
The answer is they've all... The answer is they've all referred to themselves in the third person at one time or another. Okay, Barry, yours is ordinary, boring, and dismal.
Snow White's reserves.
Would you believe they're all places in America?
Gosh.
Okay, Fred, what's the connection between a guinea pig, the Duke of Edinburgh, and first-degree burns?
I think the connection might be what they're not. You don't get a pig for a guinea. Duke of Edinburgh doesn't come from Edinburgh. And Burns didn't go to university. He was a farm labourer.
To tell you the truth, that's much more interesting than we realise. Prince Philip is patron of the Guinea Pig Club devoted to treating airmen suffering from burns. Let's put the mockers on that. Oh, and there's one more here. What connects moving into a men... Sorry. I'll read that again. Ooh, and there's one more here. What connects moving into a new home, squeezing a pimple, and old age?
Do they all necessitate new carpets?
Look at the size of that pimple.
Yeah. Well, actually, they were all cited by the leading 18th century French physician, Jean. Listen, I'm fed up with all this. The teams are now going to play a game called Cheddar Gorge, where the object is never to complete a sentence, as the title so obviously implies. Cheddar Gorge is, of course, just one of many games taking their titles from places of interest around the world. From the Scottish island where St. Columba landed comes I Own a Cathedral, a game played by bishops who like to boast a lot. In Australia, Sydney Harbour Bridge is a card game for four people, all called Sydney Harbour. And in the USA, they like to play Camp David, the winner being the one who does the best impression of the president's hairdresser. So, teams, I'd like you each to utter a single word in turn. Anyone completing a sentence will be eliminated. The subject is James Boyle, controller of Radio 4, defending his new schedule on the popular and long-running program Feedback. Will you start, please? Tim Brooke-Taylor.
I
will
have
the
first
opportunity
to
close
one
of
my
least
and
moreover
lesser
programs
in
a
large
nay. Clean. Pristine.
Yet.
Dreadful.
Yet.
Also.
Not.
Dreadful. That sounds like James Boyle.
Comma. Between
my
own
very
attractive
yet
strangely
attractive
whilst
also
it
will finally
I
will
Amina. I've not really got the hang of this, have I?
I think you might have created a proper game.
I'll get my coat.
Good night.
Well, it's very nearly time to end the show, but not before we squeeze in a round of hospital book club. Incidentally, Samantha tells me she's off with a team of local paramedics this evening. They're so excited at the thought, they just can't wait for her to arrive so they can get their ambulance and stretch her out for the night. So while she's away, I'd like the teams to suggest titles of famous books that might make suitable reading in hospitals. Tim, will you start, please?
Bridget Jones' Diarrhea.
I can't help thinking that outside a hemorrhoid ward, they would be offering them Shakespeare's Coriolanus.
And Jane Austen's Emma Royds.
And the Ipcress pile.
There's the C.S. Lewis omnibus, the Chronicles of Hernia.
Dial M for matron.
Madame Overy.
Bond books are very popular. Well, they would be. Ian Fleming discovered penicillin. Cold finger.
Doctor, no!
Thunderbowl.
I reckon that the Department of Urology would be a fair place for On Golden Pond. On Yon Golden Pond. From here to maternity?
Anything with an appendix.
John Pilgrim's The Bunyan's Progress.
Lady Chatterley's Liver.
Anesthesia Karenina.
The Viagra Story, Hard Times.
The Queen Mother's favourite, Goodbye Mr. Hips.
There's also the gynecological books, Womb with a View, and Cool Hand Look.
Great Expectoration.
Around the Ward in 80 Days.
Fatal Traction. Book of the film.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to say farewell, which in honour of our host, I shall now attempt in the original Scottish tongue, the glorious linguistic inheritance passed down through Walter Scott and Robbie Burns. Hoots, mutton. It's a braw, bricked, moonlit, nicked, a ruined maheed. And am a wa oot heem oop the hoos for ma wee neeps and tatties. So, from the team, Samantha, myself, and the fine folk of Glasgow, it's goodbye.
Pembroke Taylor, Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, and Fred McCauley were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.